Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Greetings, citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is the... I messed it up.
What is this?
What is it? It's the San Diego Comic-Con 2018 edition of Who Won the Week? It's a sci-fi podcast where we talk about all the top stories of the week. In Geek, I'm joined this week by my co-hosts and friends, the Borgo Karen Mahorn, Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski, and Damian Holbrook.
TV Guide magazine.
That's it. Wait, the magazine.
Yeah.
Wow, you still in print.
Actual magazine. Where he works.
No, the thing is, I was about to say TVGuide.com and I wasn't sure which.
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's TV Guide magazine and TVInsider.com.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Got it now.
Yeah.
He has two jobs.
So it's a full boat here at the San Diego Comic-Con. We've got a lot of things to talk about. Things, trailers that dropped and shows that are coming back unexpectedly and things that we've personally done. Maybe we shouldn't reveal all of them.
And yeah.
So many regrets. Like coming to say, No, I'm kidding. We're having a fine time. But, you know, we do this thing at the top of every episode of the podcast. And every week I ask Adam if we're going to keep doing it or not, which is like, you know, just a personal thing. Just a thing you yourself are geeking out about.
I gotta be honest, I might say no to this one this time, and only because I have not had time to think about anything else other than the San Diego Comic Convention.
Oh my God. For the first time.
All right, so for the first time ever.
We cannot break.
Well, I don't know, because the thing is, I also have had time for nothing.
Yeah. It's just, everyone listening at home.
I have a stack of screeners for the new fall season. I've watched two of them.
Yeah.
See?
Because it's just prep for Comic-Con. Prep for the videos that you do. Prep for the panels that you moderate. Pack.
So yeah. here's the thing. Dearest audience, we love you very much. Please accept that the thing that we're nerding out about was basically this. The con that we are now
convention.
At. So let's dig in, shall we? All right. So a couple big things happened. Some trailers dropped. The Titans trailer dropped. The Doctor Who trailer dropped. And I feel like these are like... These are like two of the big things. So here's my question.
I was a little frustrated though because I thought they would. I missed the exclusivity of Comic-Con. Like they dropped everywhere. I'm like, well, that was an expensive trip to watch something in my hotel room.
Oh, see, that's why you just have to make people pay for you to do things.
Right.
You think I'm paying for anything?
No, it did. Like, it did used to be like they're only going to show it at the panel.
And then like a week later, 2 weeks later, it would show up everywhere else. And now it's like, yeah, drop this. I'm like, what do you mean? I have people back at, well, where I live, telling me that, oh, this thing dropped. It must be great. I'm like, why did you see
that's
it
something
first?
That Marvel has really been a stickler about over the years.
Yeah.
And them not being here this year means we probably won't get a exclusive.
That's it. Oh, all bets are off.
But all right. Yeah, so these are
I can tell you, like, I'll be getting video clips and sizzle reels and trailers and things like that for the panels that I'm moderating that will drop on TV Insider at the same time as the panel.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, your sneak preview of Supergirl happens exactly at the same time in the ballroom and online.
But I gotta say, for people who are able to actually be in the hall when these things are shown for the first time,
it's
a great experience too, if you can do that. I mean, for us, I think a lot of us are running around doing 50,000 different things, so we don't get that opportunity.
We're tired. We're jaded.
Yeah. But for the people who actually get to be there, like when they show...
You could have just said old, you know that, right?
You know what? Speak for yourself.
You could just said old. I will.
You also have to realize that we're coming from that position where it's like, we do this every day.
Yeah.
Like, we see these people, we have interactions with them. For the layman who are in Ballroom 20 or Hall H and they get to see, you know, the Doctor Who cast, that's a big deal.
Definitely.
Honestly,
and I would say,
well,
and this year... It is a pretty big deal. I mean, this is a pretty notable time.
Jody.
Kind of surprised that it was a Thursday panel.
Yeah.
Me too. Like, I thought it would be Saturday.
Because the crowd already feels very small this year. So I figured, like, maybe a Hall H on Sunday, you know, like give her a big grand welcome.
I was surprised as well, yeah. Especially since Marvel isn't here. I thought there'd be space.
I know.
Well, it's right here at the front. They decided to get out of the way.
And time.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Because, so this
and
is like,
I'm not old. I'm a Time Lord.
Whoa. All right. If you say so. What regeneration are you on?
357.
Whoa. Okay. So I like so two trailers, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a competition. We're going to make them fight. There was a Titans one and there was a Doctor Who one.
That's not a fight.
I want you. Okay. Mm. So you say that.
Wait, are you ready for this? I got a sneak preview of this before we recorded. So, So Danny.
I'm going to be the only person in this room that didn't hate the Titans trailer.
No, I didn't hate it.
Really?
Oh, no, you're not the only one. Here's the thing. I didn't hate it. I thought it was smart the way they handle it because the focus is really on Robin and Raven.
Yeah.
But
which I was like,
well, that was the thing. Like, I've never been a Raven fan until that trailer.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, I never really connected with
the
character.
Teen Titans Go, Raven is really good.
Yeah, but like, I've never really enjoyed the character. But on that, I was like, I want to see more. I want to see her be evil.
No, I like her on Teen Titans Go when she has her alter ego, Lady Legasus. When it's just all about her long legs. Yes. You're like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. But I think that when those set photos were released, everybody's like, you know, give it a chance. Why are you judging these people? It's not that bad. I expected to see things be so much different. But then, like, you see Beast Boy jumping and then, like, no changing.
I thought same thing. No, and I said that earlier today. I was like, and they were like, what did you think? I was like, I was super excited for the trailer. I'm excited the way it looks. I'm excited about the tone they're taking. I just wish I'd seen Gar change.
Yeah, like it was like seeing Venom. And it was like, okay, great. I saw everything but the symbiote. What's happening?
Which is like the main thing.
Yeah, right. Because that's what we're here for. So I kind of almost felt like the trailer was rushed. Like, let's show the 10 things that we can show. And let's just put some, you know, some sparkles here, some effects there. And I'm sorry. Baby girl's wig looked wrong.
Starfire.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I see now. I can't.
You can. You can say that her wig looked tired.
Okay.
You can say that.
It did.
That's not racial. That's fashion.
No, it was asleep.
And I got the impression from the styling. Have you been to the DC Universe activation? Yeah. So I got the impression from the styling that maybe this take on Starfire is a little bit, she's a little bit low rent.
Right.
So which her
is
wig,
a wrong thing to put a black woman in.
Yes.
Because then we're like, wait, I'm sorry. Why are we, this is like 42nd Street, 1982. What's happening? Right.
She's from the Deuce.
This. Yeah.
She's like, $5, I'll make fire. $5.
Adam's in the corner, shaking his head.
But that's all right, because it's time to talk about the best part of the whole trailer.
I very much look forward
to
a day, someday in the future that I envision this in my mind, when people who are making superhero stories, when they want to make something more adult or mature, don't do it in the way that a 12-year-old boy would.
Yeah.
It's funny because you say as you say those words, I'm like,
I know. dropping an F-bomb and
it made
in some ultraviolet. It's like I can see some kid just being like, oh my gosh, that's so dark. And listen, I'm just over grimdark, man. I'm over it.
I didn't find it to be dark at all.
So that was the thing. I thought the F-bomb wasn't to me like, oh, it's so dark and gritty. It was, oh, this platform doesn't have to worry about censorship.
But great. I mean, it's just a word.
Here's what I will say.
Like, you want to make your show adult. You want to make it complex and mature. Then make it complex. That's not the dark edgelord thing. Like, I don't know what
I feel like, man. I feel like CBS All Access did something similar.
I want to sit these people down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to sit these people down.
But it still had humor and it ended up actually having more than what it was promoted as.
It did.
I just want to sit these people down, Clockwork Orange style, and show them on repeat Batman the Animated Series and Young Justice.
Yes. Right, yes.
And just say,
and Doom.
There. That's all you Batman have Doom. To do is yeah. that tone well, and that vibe, think, and people will love it.
I think Doom Patrol will have that.
I agree.
They're clearly looking forward to playing around with like the, you know, the Avengers goofiness of this mismatched team. So
right.
I think that we are being given a very myopic view of what the show is going to look like.
And but that's what they put forward as their big, here's our first bow trailer. And, you know, the F-bomb, F Robin saying F Batman, like, they wanted that to be a big moment for whatever reason, whether it's to show they don't have censorship or whatever.
I agree with that, though. I think it was but I did feel that it was a boardroom of people like, let's just make one of them curse so everybody knows that this is an ABC.
But cursing, isn't a CW show.
Exactly. I mean, look at movies. I just laughed so hard that I didn't.
And it
see
is pretty
it.
True
I don't
to
know
the
what
character.
Their intention was. Well, wait a minute. But this was the grand debate because I went
honestly,
on the floor and started
think,
asking people what they thought about it. And so the first person I talked to said, I hated it. And I was like, really? You hated it? And he was like, yeah, man. And I was like, why? He was like, because if it had been Jason Todd, it would have made sense.
Yes.
But Dick Grayson would never talk that way. And I was like,
yeah, because
wow.
to some people, there's a lot of people
we
that
are
have
definitely
a,
at a comic convention.
Right?
Yeah,
there's
know,
a lot
right?
of people that have a Captain America like view of Robin, but there's two things that I really am interested in. Like I guess obviously the cursing, and they've also talked about how they're going to explore his Romani roots, which I think is really interesting. Mm. But I think just the whole F-bomb thing was simply because, hey, this isn't a kid's show. Yeah. It's like,
but that's
okay.
the thing is that there are ways to tell adult right. stories. And I'm not saying you don't use it, but if that's what you're putting forward as the way of showing it's an adult story,
you know what it
then
is.
You're trying too hard
that's,
for me.
They put it forward because that was going to get them pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
sure.
was the headline of every story that covered that trailer.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah,
they
whether
were,
or not
I
you were annoyed
was,
or you liked it right. or you thought it was funny
also,
or you thought it was stupid.
It led the story.
It led everything. And it also, at the same time, was the way it was presented. Like, they stopped down. Like, before he said it, all the music... It stopped. It was silent. We're going to make sure you hear it. That was their quote unquote money shot. And I completely agree. I completely agree that it was about getting those headlines.
Getting traction.
I liked the dank memes that arose around it.
Oh, of course.
There are all kinds of dank memes now of reversing the Robin and Batman slapping
Grandpa.
Panel that
yeah,
goes
oh,
around.
I saw that a ton of times. Yeah. And you know, it's like one of those things, like we've gotten to that point now where like those memes have the shelf life of milk in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah.
Before, because by the time that had turned into a thing, Doctor Who was out with the new Sonic, Sonic screwdriver, and everyone was like,
"Which everybody, hey, it's a vibrator!
It looks like an alien vibrator."
And
I'm
like,
literally
first of
looking
all,
at it right now.
First of all, I'm sorry,
I have owned vibrators that look exactly like.
But
this.
But have you met an alien that used one? You have no proof.
There you go.
But then, I mean,
y'all are like up from Earth. Like,
all the Sonic screwdrivers could have fit that.
Thank you. Exactly. I've been saying that for years.
No, it's the curved. There's a company that makes vibrators
like
that look specifically.
You mean like the nubbin on the end?
No, the curvature of it.
It's the curvature at the handle of it. I'm just saying, I literally own this vibrator.
This is Sci-Fi After Dark, ladies and gentlemen.
I own it.
Well, then you could be the next Doctor.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, here's the point. So you've got, here's what you have. There's the Titans thing, and it's got an F-bomb. And then... You've got Doctor Who, which didn't like everyone was so excited, but like, did anything happen in that trailer?
I haven't seen it yet because I've been holed up doing videos.
Oh, wow.
I honestly think that they introduced a lot of. It was her basically monologuing, and then she introduced a lot of all the companions. But I think the reason why the trailer didn't do anything was because it was answering the teaser. Because in the teaser, I heard people like, "Is this a Verizon commercial? What am I looking at?" It's like, no, those are going to be her companions. But people who don't know that that's going to be the connection, they were never with her physically in the teaser. Net the trailer proved that they're actually going to travel with her.
I think we saw some things. We saw her running, which is a very important skill for a doctor. We saw her reacting to some sort of psychic attack by clutching both hands to the sides of her head, which is also a key doctor performance skill. Every doctor does that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are big things. No, and listen, I agree with you. I mean, the trailer was a little lighter than I expected, honestly, on quote-unquote content, but everything I heard about what was actually going on at the panel was very interesting. So that, I think,
ooh,
that informed it. Just a lot of from Chris Chibnall talking about the direction, and he said something about it being a very good season to jump on board if you have never watched the show before,
which is a great entry point because that is that I was having this conversation with somebody earlier today about like the exclusivity of comic books. Like you feel like you're an outsider because you don't know the whole story of the soap opera from beginning to end. So like I've always been a Doctor Who outsider because I'm like, I don't understand some of it. And I don't know, like, who are these crying statues and all that stuff? Like, so this is the time where
just
I'm like,
don't look at them.
Yeah, because well, I see them here at Comic-Con and they like freak me out. So like that for me is like, all right, this is where I can get in there. Like I wanted to get in during the Matt Smith years, but like,
you actually could have.
Yeah.
Because his story, yeah, you actually could have. That was another good one too.
Even in general, I think a lot of Doctor Who, I was actually having this conversation with Jackie Jennings, who does a lot of the on-air stuff for us. And, you know, she said it's actually kind of a turnoff for her that Doctor Who is one of the few remaining shows out there that still has something of an episodic structure.
Right.
You know, where you've got these circular episodes and things aren't that different, you know, they end up at the beginning, at the end where they are from the beginning. I mean, listen, some of them have some serial stuff going on for sure, and there have been season-long arcs, but never something like Game of Thrones, where watched season 3, episode 7 of Game of Thrones, you would have no idea what's happening because you have to have seen everything that came before. It's actually part of one story.
There were little things,
though. It feels like they only get really serialized with the story when they actually have to get rid of one of the doctors to get a new one. Like, that's where they start setting up the like some kind of arc that they have to do.
And that's always right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Because it always happens during the Christmas special.
We were talking about that, and I realized I kind of miss that. I mean, I like the serial thing, obviously. There are all these shows that do the serial storytelling I'm really into, but I kind of miss the days when you could just throw on an episode of a show and maybe you'd be a little lost because you don't have the entire backstory of the characters, but you could follow one plot from beginning to end in an hour.
That's why we have Law and Order.
There you go. Yeah. But, my favorite show. No.
But they have embedded little things. And again, this was the teaser, not the trailer. Like the custard and fish sticks. The custard and fish sticks that was on the table, that is Matt Smith, that's 11. That's the 11th Doctor. So there were little things, little Easter eggs embedded for like
the long-term fans.
Exactly. Right. Yes. But I think...
But that trailer to me says...
But that wasn't in the trailer. That was the teaser.
But the trailer to me is specifically saying, like, we're not going to see, like, Daleks, probably not. Cybermen, probably not. It, to me, read like all this stuff that you're used to. We're going to all different planets now. We're not bothering with that stuff anymore because we got to take at least a break from it.
I would say in this season. I disagree. She lasts more than one season and they don't bring in a Dalek or a Cybermen, of course, I will be stunned.
I know what those are.
He's like, I know that reference.
I know what those are, but I would be concerned about that too because even though it's a new Doctor, the universe that character lives in.
But that's the thing, if you look, but in the trailer, they basically suggest that it's almost like a brand new universe.
No, but you know what? The reason why I disagree is
real weird the way they word it.
Is I'm going back to Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery, Michael was walking around the desert with Michelle Yeoh, and then two episodes in, she's dead.
So, I don't know, man.
I mean, she came back, but still, it was like...
I don't think...
We thought, we're going to be on this planet. It's going to be a whole different thing. It's going to be... No, we're not. Oh, she's in jail. Wait, really? Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, even though that was the trailer, I think the trailer did the job of, hey, we're teasing all the things between the teaser and the trailer. And I keep bringing up the teaser because I think together they give you more of an idea. I don't think that they're abandoning all the things.
I hope not, because like that Lost in Space.
Yeah.
I mean, they never went to space.
They were lost.
They were lost on the mountain.
But it was in a planet. On a planet.
They
were clearly lost in Vancouver.
And the planet was in space.
Yeah.
Vancouver
is technically in space.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. This is just, they crash landed. They're not like spinning off into the cosmos. They landed on one planet and spent way too much time basically living on the set of the 100.
Oh, cold-blooded. I saw you tweet about Klexa, like,
of
today.
Course I did. Yes,
but,
I did.
Is this 2 years ago?
No, it was. So we had Alicia today.
To talk about.
Yeah,
we had Alicia today in the TV Guide TV Insider photo studio with the Fear the Walking Dead people. So, and she's just so lovely, but we always get asked, like, because I had that picture of them together. She with
I have been to Klexicon.
Oh.
So I know.
Okay. So, yeah. So we had that great picture of them on our boat a couple years ago, and it gets retweeted all the time. And I said to her, you know, I have Eliza Taylor and Bob Morley on our fan favorites panel this weekend. And she was like, oh, I God, I miss those guys so much. I was hoping to see them, but I'm flying out just as they're flying in. And so I was like, well, we clearly have to capitalize on this because everybody keeps asking, can we get them together in some way again?
Yeah. And
scheduling, we cannot.
Aww.
I know.
Someday. But yeah, no, it's wild. So, it's wild. The maybe it's just my Twitter feed, but it never ends.
No. And I'm also, there's a subset where I'm considered like public enemy.
Whoa.
Because, wait, okay, well, this an is enemy to,
wait, I'm very curious.
Yeah.
To whom? Are you to the Klexa fans?
I guess. I think I've incurred their wrath by, like, I did interviews with Jason Rothenberg shortly after all of it happened.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like there are still some bad feelings from people who think that I was siding with him or defending what he did. And truly what it was a Q&A with him. And ask him, like, what were you thinking, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I feel
you're
like...
You're a monster. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to... I mean, like, I've said this publicly. I've never on... I don't know that I've ever said it on the podcast, but, like, I wrote articles, like, really coming after him, and there was... it was, like, a WonderCon right after that, and, mm-hmm. like, somebody had to explain that, like, I wasn't there. Otherwise, he, like, would not
oh,
talk.
Oh, I was at that WonderCon.
Okay. Yeah, and he was I a real was, man, and yeah. is not a fan of mine. And it's yeah. very mutual. I also don't yeah. like him. I don't know him, but, like,
I was,
the way
yeah.
that he behaved made me really dislike... Anyway, this is, like, a whole other
made a bad, like, bad choice, bad follow-up reactions, stuff like that. Yep. So... And I had done the Q&A, like a call with him, and I have a very nice working relationship with him in that show, and I love that show, and I love that cast, and I love the writers. So I was just covering it,
sure.
and it was I didn't ask the right questions. I didn't stand up for, like, I was a traitor to my community and all that stuff. And so there, I think there are still people who consider me. I don't know, but it's crazy.
It's really tough.
Oh,
when
no,
you're,
no,
when you're
I'm
a journalist.
They're going to find out that you were on my podcast and turn again. No.
I know, you're guilt by association.
That's one of the problems of being a journalist when we have these spaces, because it even happens in fandom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how dare you, like, interview this person and not yell at them for
right,
this?
It's right.
Because
that's not my job.
Thank
right.
you. That's not my
like,
job.
And when
you pay me?
Right.
And that'll be
exactly.
my job.
Like, if you want to tell me what questions I'm going to ask on an interview, like, you better be sending a damn check.
Exactly.
And, like, I'm doing Supergirl this weekend.
Yeah.
People were saying, like, we just asked you not to make it about Mon-El. Just don't make it all about Mon-El. And I was like, why on earth would I make it about a character who's not on the show anymore?
Right.
Not on the panel.
Also not named Supergirl.
Right. And, and the response was, because we saw that you were a fan of his.
Oh, now in fairness... That is a bad opinion to have.
No, I'm just... But it's like...
In the world of
such
opinions
a fan
that
of
are
Melissa
good
Benoist,
and bad.
And I'm a massive Kyler Lee fan. I'm a massive Sarah Schechter fan. Like, but it was like, just because I was a fan of one person, I was going to... Like, that I would ever think to turn an entire panel about it. First of all, you can't even fill an hour talking about that character. You can't fill an hour talking about any character.
Especially
now you're
going
to get some
one.
Angry emails from Mon-El fans
yeah.
who are like, let me talk to you for an hour
right.
about
yes.
Mon-El.
Please, I'll
please.
Show you.
Please let it be written on lined paper.
Anyway, I want a graph. Anyway, hey, what else? We should like, let's...
Well, you had your panel with
you
Night
did.
Flyers.
Yes, I did. I had the Night Flyers panel and it was a lot of fun. It was basically the very first panel for Sci-Fi's mm-hmm. new show, Night Flyers, which is written by... It's based on a... It's so funny. They're calling it a novella. I'm like, ooh, okay. Because whenever I hear a novella, I always think telenovela. Novella.
Buenos
exactly. So, novella by George R.R. Martin. It's really only like 120 pages, but I've read it. And it's an incredible thriller. Now, those people who know me know I don't like horror. I'm telling you. And it's not like I hate it. I'm just... I spend the entire time under my coat. So, but this is a thriller and I've
and
seen
it's
the
summer,
first...
so you didn't even have a coat.
So it's a thriller. It's a psychological thriller. The short version is, well, the short version is this is what Event Horizon should have been. But anyway,
yes.
the short version is really that it is a research vessel in space. The ship is full of scientists. These are not like astronauts. And basically they are trying, Earth is dying. And they're trying to locate this alien race, which only comes within Earth's atmosphere, like basically once every 1,000 years, to communicate with them, to be like, hey, so do you know of any real estate in the other part of the universe? Because we got to go. And in order to do this, they've brought along a telepath and a few other things, and I'm not going to get into everything, but it's 100 years, 75 years in the future. It's not like 1,000 years. So it's really a, and then yes, there's dying and there's blood, but it's basically a thriller and a mystery also, because you don't know who's killing everybody at first. And it could be kind of like Law and Order, like you mentioned. It could be anybody, honestly. There's a captain who's actually a hologram. So the question is he or is
spoiler
he not?
Spoiler alert.
Wow. No, it's not a spoiler.
Oh, did they reveal
that
it?
That is out. Yeah, that is real.
Interesting.
And that was revealed last week, okay, which confused me, but that came out. Yeah, I didn't spoil that. There are other things on the show that I can't reveal, though. And every cast member has a different reason for being there. Like one is basically a biologist that is, you know, obviously growing food and figuring out like things exist in a new atmosphere, stuff like that. There's a ship's doctor, there's a ship's engineer. One little thing I can share is that the engineer, though, she doesn't just like fix things in the engine, yes, like Star Trek. She can actually interface with it. Which is also interesting. So there's a lot of, the tech is really good. I'll tell you one thing, guys. They spent money on this show. It is gorgeous.
I was on that set.
Yeah.
In right outside of Dublin. And it is, first of all, it is massive.
Yes, like, this ship is practically
is
done.
Legit.
It's not, they're not on green screen talking to tennis balls.
No, it is a highly functional, practical set. It is gigantic. And like, you just look at the set, like, you know those rooms in a show where you're like, okay, well, it's a small room, and you walk in, you're like, what the hell have you done?
Yeah, and the actors really, really appreciated it. And Gretchen Mol's on the show. David Ajala is on the show. I'm about to say Owen's last name wrong. Because
Mackin?
Because wine. Yes, yeah. Owen Mackin is on the show. And
from TV's Night Shift.
Yes. And what's really funny is that it's really an ensemble cast. If I didn't really like the show, I wouldn't be on the podcast going, yay, I know people are like, yeah, it's sci-fi, you have to. I really don't. I would go, yeah, I did that. And that would be the end of the conversation. But it was a good panel. I really think it's a great show. People were shocked. And I was actually very surprised by the scenes, they decided to show the audience, because I'm like, that I thought was a spoiler, but okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but they really showed some great stuff, and the panel itself went really well, because I think they really enjoyed, you know, working
together,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and Jeff Buehler is a huge fan. I know there were some questions because he took over as showrunner just back in the spring, and he's also a writer, but nothing has seemed to have slowed down. So I'm looking forward to it. It drops in the fall. That we do not know the exact drop date yet. I have a feeling we might know before the weekend's out.
Probably.
But it's, I'm looking forward to it, and it was actually one of the highlights of my day.
I think they'd be crazy not to premiere it sometime in October, because they're calling it a haunted house in space.
Exactly.
It's Psycho in
Space.
And
I told them, it is Psycho in Space, really. And I was telling everybody, I'm like, you guys are coming to New York Comic Con, right?
Oh.
It's like October, duh.
I mean, I'm running into so many publicists and producers in just the last few days, like that's what they're talking about is New York Comic Con this year.
Which is weird.
I know. It is weird.
It's their competition. It's this sort of competition.
Well, because I'm so used to San Diego Comic Con being, it's like that's the movie.
I mean,
movie
San Diego Comic Con is still the mothership.
It is. But
New York 2 years ago had more higher numbers than San Diego did.
Did it really?
And the only reason why it didn't last year, I think, is because of the construction.
Wow.
I'm very curious to see, though, because you pointed out that this is kind of a quiet year
smaller
for San
crowd,
Diego.
Yeah.
So is New York Comic Con then going to pick up the slack? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, I don't know how that
you don't
can
think
happen.
So?
Well, the problem is the Javits Center, I don't think can get...
Well, no,
can't
because they're doing all those things at like Madison Square,
right, but even
Hammerstein.
That, like, that's all like... But the thing about San Diego, the thing about San Diego is how everything can kind of spread out from the con here. Right. There's all this space in the Gas Lamp District where people can take over.
But you think about like you give right, you can't do like what Amazon is doing or the Jack Ryan activation in the middle of Manhattan. Like,
exactly.
There's no way.
There's no. There's only so far for the for New York Comic Con to spread out from Javits.
They're going to get numbers, just bodies attending. Like you think about this convention would have been Game of Thrones farewell panel.
It would have been.
Which means New York Comic Con, if they go, would be it. And that's going to draw the people. No Westworld. No Stranger Things this year. No Marvel.
Has Game of Thrones ever done New York Comic Con?
I feel like they have.
A panel there? I don't... They might have had some sort of activation or something.
Outlander is having their first. Yep. You know, Walking Dead, when they did their first panel there at Madison Square, it was a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an 8 o'clock panel.
Oh my God.
8 o'clock and they sold out Madison Square.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like New York might be that. Anyway, that's like a future. That's a future thing. Adam, what did you do? What happened?
Oh man. I mean, the one thing we haven't been sleeping. Yeah. I was up at 5 in the morning talking to a bunch of radio stations, which was fun. But no, actually that was fun. But so I didn't actually get to be at a lot of panels. I was running around to different locations all day, just kind of coordinating
things.
He was herding cats. But the thing we have not talked about yet that was the big surprise, I think, of the day is Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
we were saving it for you.
Oh, okay, great. No, but as there was a 10-year anniversary panel for the Clone Wars cartoon today and or animated series, if we want to use the... more elevated language.
Terminology, yeah. Yep.
But, and you know, of course, everybody's getting together to celebrate the show. They all loved and everything. And it was revealed, surprise, we're getting more Clone Wars. We're getting a 10-episode season of Clone Wars to, I guess, wrap things up. They didn't necessarily say it's the last one. But there's a lot of talk about how, you know, the show actually didn't get to finish out the season that it wanted to. So, and I got to tell you, the reaction that I'm seeing online to this news is mind-boggling. And it's just interesting.
A lot bigger than Solo.
Honestly.
That's what I'm saying. It's interesting that I feel like this is this property. You know, whatever you think about the reason that the fandom has had this schism over The Last Jedi and Solo and the way things are going under Kathleen Kennedy at the movies, Clone Wars is like the last, I think, universally beloved Star Wars thing that came out. And if for a lot of people that I know who were so turned off by the prequels, it was what reignited their love of Star Wars. So the reactions that you were just seeing, I mean, there was a woman who posted a tweet of just a frame by frame of her friend watching the trailer that they put out. And it was amazing. This woman's face, it was like, you could tell that she was really feeling it. So I mean, one of the great things about Comic-Con is when you get surprises like that that people don't know are coming. There's a lot of stuff we always know. It's like, oh, okay, the Aquaman's going to be here and they're going to show a trailer for Aquaman and we're all expecting that. And for better or worse, you know, it's going to be a big deal, but we know it's coming. Something like this that kind of comes out of left field and knocks people off their feet is always kind of
fun. Especially because it's really the only Star Wars presence here.
Yes, exactly.
You know? And again, like what a weird con that we don't have a Star Wars thing here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man, but now we do, and it's that thing, and it's for the faithful, I guess.
Absolutely,
it's sort of about as big or as good a news as you could get.
That's great news.
Absolutely, I mean,
that's huge happy news.
Yeah, yeah,
it is, and I think, and it's weird because, and not weird that it's happy news, but I think it's weird that that's one thing that show seems to be universally loved by Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Well, it's
I've always found that fascinating.
It's about the Batman, the animated series.
Yeah.
That's something that I think every Batman fan can agree on.
Yes.
Regardless of whether you love the dark and gritty ones or, you know, I think there's like five people who love Batman Forever. Yeah.
I like it as a kid. Wait, is that weird?
Yes.
No,
I liked you when I was a kid.
Yeah, but Danny, you are weird, though. Yeah. We've covered this.
Yeah.
I think there's an entire episode about this.
I mean, I just met you, but I'm pretty sure you were a weird kid.
Oh, man. He read you like a book. Sorry, but
it's an open book. The book is wide open.
But the
the library is never closed in my home.
Of course, and the footage, you know, that they did end up showing for Clone Wars obviously leaned into the clones a lot at the very beginning, and then there's
but
a
not
big,
so much the wars.
No, it was all about the wars. But
all right.
Then there was a big reveal of Ahsoka at the end, and that's everybody's favorite Clone Wars character. who I think it would be very interesting to see in a live action film. And I think that would be very, now that we are in a world in which, spoiler alert, the Darth Maul from the animated series can make an appearance in the movie.
Everybody knows. Yeah, if you don't know that by now, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But all so I would say all bets.
It's not a spoiler. If you haven't seen that movie by now, that's your fault.
I would say all bets are off, man. If they're truly rethinking their Star Wars strategy, bring Ahsoka to the big screen. Give it.
I've always wondered why they never did that. I mean, that was clearly like their, that's their new Boba Fett.
Yeah.
You know, like people took to her and they want more, you know?
There's your answer.
I did have that same confusion when I was in Solo, and I remember thinking, like, wait, how did he live? He lit. Oh, yeah, I guess so. But again,
I had no idea because I'd never watched Rebels, so I didn't know the whole story. Rebels.
So I have not seen Solo, which is
Sorry.
So no, that's fine because I knew there was something, and people were talking about it was from one of the animated shows, and I was like, oh, I hope it's like, you know, one of the droids or, you know, was it Whitwer?
As
Darth Maul?
No. Oh, no. They went back to Gary Park.
Wait, did they really? Nice.
Ray Park.
Yeah. Ray Park. I'm sorry, Ray Park.
Was it actually Ray Park?
Gary Park, somebody else. Ray Park. Yeah, they went back to Ray Park.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
See, yeah, and I'm a super Star Wars fan. I've got some tattoo stuff there. And,
I think a few.
But I was, nothing drew me to it. It wasn't one of those, like, I wasn't so divided over it. I was just like, it came out and I was busy.
Yeah.
And then like other things happened and Comic-Con was coming up. So I was like, I'll get to see it. I'll see it. And I just haven't.
Right.
And then there was this
honestly,
like.
But honestly, I think we talked about this on one of the panels that's how the story felt. Like, okay, this is great. But like, I mean, it's not
the movie I asked for.
And yes,
you know, like, and kind of like we kind of knew.
Adam, who asked for this?
Yeah. Like, I didn't. Like, I was like, all right, that's cool. The guy's handsome. I like that speed, like the racer that they show in the clip. But like, all right, we kind of knew he was a rascal.
But honestly, I think that's that thing is the most significant thing. And if you talk about the direction of the franchise to come out of it, which is this crossover between the animated series world and the movie world, because it opens the door. For a ton of this stuff, and then stuff that, as we've said, people universally love. So there's a lot of territory that they could mine out of that to bring into the movies.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we'll see. We found there a thing is. That everybody Solution. Likes. There it is.
There is one
even,
more thing.
Even Rian Johnson's got to be cool about it. Can't be mad. Can't make glib jokes. Got to be nice.
I just think like they're getting a ton of heat for all this stuff, and it's like again, I see the term, the toxic fandom and all that stuff, and like people love what they love, and they hate. Anyone who doesn't love it. But I just feel like at the end of the day, like they're trying their best. I don't think any of these people go into making movies or TV shows to piss anyone off.
Not the creators.
I would, but that's why I don't make movies
themselves.
And there it is.
The people who are finding them and some of the creator type stuff. I mean, you also have to realize that this is a genre that was actually created to push toys.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So
it is basically the Valentine's He-Man. Day of movies.
Yeah, it's like the sweetest day of.
Yeah.
So I mean, and that's when you see people that are angry about things like She-Ra and stuff like that. I'm like,
wait, why are we mad at She-Ra?
Oh, you don't know about
this? Is this because she's oversexualized?
Oh, we haven't talked about that.
No.
That's the thing. Up.
She's undersexualized.
In the new one, in the reboot, she's undersexualized. She's a cute little teenager. They read you her.
She's got like she's no adorable. Breasts at all. Like,
oh. And she's got little boy shorts, and she's adorable. So they're like, oh, this is not, you know.
This
is
what I grew up with.
No, and you're 43.
Something
it shouldn't
I could
be.
And also, if she was being played in live action, she'd look like an American Apparel ad. And then people would say she was sexualized.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a constant thing, and it's a constant discussion that's had. Can I talk about one thing that is actually people that were really happy about?
What?
Dragon Ball.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah, the Dragon Ball movie, because the Dragon Ball show ended in the spring, and the anime, and Dragon Ball dropped a trailer today that. Everybody knew there was a new baddie coming, but nobody knew who it was. It turns out it's Broly. Now, for people who are fans, you're going to know who Broly is. But the reason why, behind the scenes, I think it's important is Akira Toriyama, who created Dragon Ball, did not create the character Broly. In a similar situation, the animation studio did. They said, you know what? We need another bad character. We need to put somebody out there. And even in the manga, they were like, this is going to be... our creation, this is another just another person to put into the battles. I'm not going to get into the details because I know you guys don't all know the story. But the long and the short of it is, he was like, okay, Broly's a decent character. I like what you've done with him. Now let me take a crack at him. So this movie not just is the first movie to be made since the anime ended. Mm-hmm. It's featuring a character that Akira Toriyama has decided to take on and bring into a pantheon that he, you know, this huge story that he created years and years ago. So fans are losing their minds. And across the board, everybody seems to be happy, which is good. Because that's one thing in anime, like, they only get mad when you kill off their favorite character.
There's nothing else.
Yeah, there's really no, like, they didn't draw them that way last time. Like, you don't get that in anime.
Their color wouldn't be that pointy.
Except for Sailor Moon. When they redid Sailor Moon, there was fights.
You know what? I stay away from any Sailor Moon conversation because I've seen way too many subreddit stuff.
Oh, no.
Wait, what stuff does
don't go to subreddit.
What does this mean?
No.
Devastatingly weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love Sailor Moon.
No, but subreddit.
Don't go to Reddit.
Yeah, don't go to Reddit. Stay away from Reddit.
Like Sailor Moon is like the original. Like my wife and I talk about this all the time. We're like we look at the cat every day, and we're like, when are you gonna talk? When are you gonna poop out a brooch? When are we gonna be Sailor Scouts? When is it happening?
Yeah.
And what's really funny is I look at my cat and realize this is one big side mission. That's all I'm on with this thing.
He's always
sitting in a ray of light by the window, and I'm like, I know I've just missed something. There's a key for me somewhere.
I look at my dog and I'm like, you're living my best life.
Exactly. So there were a few happy things that came out of it. And
it's only day one.
And you saw a lot of toys, Danny.
I did see a lot of toys.
You should see his face, guys.
The thing is that like I looked at the schedule and it was like, we're going to do exclusives for 4 hours. And I was there's no way this is going to take 4 hours.
So many exclusives. Where did you go?
Entertainment Earth, NECA, Diamond Direct, Think Geek. I forget. We went like to a ton of different
Lego
places. Mattel. We were all over the place. It was good, and I love NECA. Like that's like my number one favorite toy company. And they've got like that VHS box. Ninja Turtles with the four in there, and it's like that's $125, and then there's like a kit of like all of this backdrop stuff from the 1990 movie, and that's another $125. So the question is my wife going to listen to this podcast and find out about the $250 that I'm going to spend tomorrow?
Because
I really might buy the whole thing.
I wouldn't blame you.
I mean,
did you stop by Sideshow? Did you guys go by Sideshow?
No, we didn't actually go to Sideshow.
I love Sideshow's action figures and their replicas.
Some of their statues are pretty good.
Yeah. But like, it's that covet thing where you see it and you're like, I want it. And then you see the price and you're like, I want to have dinner.
But they're the ones that bring the hot toys over, and I don't like hot toys.
Oh, interesting.
I'm very critical of the hot toys.
But if you are out here and you're trying to like look at something new from them, go check out Lobo.
This is the only winning move is not to play. And this is why I
never
buy
go by there?
Anything at a convention. And so, except maybe like the last day if the trade paperbacks or they don't want to ship them back.
When they don't want to ship them back. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. It is I've the greatest an amazing thing. Trade.
So I will take advantage of that. Yeah. But in terms of like a like a piece of plastic or a piece of finely crafted metal or whatever, there's a force field between me and all this stuff, and I can sit and observe it and be like, wow, that is amazing.
Are you a dad?
No, not yet.
Okay,
are you soon to be a dad?
Soon to be, but
I mean,
because
you're kind of a daddy, but
again, sci-fi like, after dark.
That's like a superpower to go in there and like not be lured in.
It's
literally like if you can leave the convention center, you realize like, I will never need that.
Exactly. That mini bust of Beta Ray Bill, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautifully crafted.
Okay. It's like when you go to a bar and you have too many drinks with somebody that you kind of know, and you both always knew that you were into each other a little bit.
Yep.
And it's like, if you get through that night without doing something stupid, you wake up the next day and you're like, thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah. Otherwise, you end up with an ugly doll.
That's right.
But not for nothing. Ugly doll has an amazing display this year.
I didn't see it. I went
it's
through and
huge
viewed
and
it.
It's awesome.
I might need to hit it because I did some damage at Kid Robot.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
They have a Devil Flanders.
But at least he went in and came out. Wow.
The Devil Flanders. And
is there a forbidden donut?
No, but
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
There is one bit of comic book news I also got out of today. I didn't, clearly, because we were running around looking at toys. Yeah. I didn't get this myself, but I read it, and that is Kelly Sue DeConnick is taking over DC's Aquaman. Yes. And they're doing sort of a Batman Year One with it, where it's a like an exploration of the mythos and everything of the character. As long as they use Jason Momoa as
is he wearing
drawn.
Leather pants underwater?
So I was at that.
If it's Jason Momoa, he can wear whatever he wants.
I was at the DC Comics breakfast when they announced that. And first of all, the audience, the crowd of press, there were like audible gasps when that was announced. But the story they actually have lined up is really fascinating.
Really?
That he is waking up. Jim Lee spills everything. He's going to like wake up on an island with amnesia. And not know who he is. Mm. But he's going to be meeting all these people that are also kind of like castaways on this island that are other ocean gods.
The millionaire.
I was going to say. Yeah.
So there's this
and his wife.
And, and he gets a little buddy.
And a movie star. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You just turned Aquaman to Gilligan's Island. I'm mad at
That's
you.
It. Yeah. No, man. DC Comics.
He was
like,
my first crush, Aquaman.
Ugh. We are living in a wild time, though, because it's like, look at this. Bendis came to Superman. Yeah. G. Willow Wilson's going to do Wonder Woman. And now Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to do Aquaman. Yeah. Like,
she's already.
They're really doing some stuff right now.
They're shaking some shit up. Also doing the Wonder Woman Black. The series. The Black. She's not making her black.
That's the Black series. The DC series. Black. Yeah. Yeah, because the Batman Damned looks amazing, and they're doing
it's exactly what Adam doesn't like. It's the adult version of all the comics. So like,
when he was going off on that, there's a scene from 30 Rock where Liz Lemon starts listing all of the things that women hate that men love, and she's like, really dark comic book movies. And every time I hear when I hear somebody says like, oh, these dark comic books, I'm like, Liz Lemon knew before all of us.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's she called it.
But then again, I'm going to say the pictures I'm seeing out of Shazam, not sold.
Yeah, I'm not sold either.
It's
going
to be interesting. He looks like a blow-up doll.
It was,
yeah.
Like
he looks like he's having an allergic reaction under that suit.
I think a lot of people were saying, you know, with Marvel not showing up this year, this was DC's year to shine. We're going to get this big Aquaman stuff. And then the Aquaman poster came out and some of these Shazam pictures came out. And there's a little bit of like, oh, are we really that excited about this?
Super excited about Aquaman.
Are you? Well, you have the history with
first crush, and also the sharks in the poster are like, yes, bring me sharks.
But they look like, it looks like, someone pointed out that it kind of looks like the poster from Finding Nemo, and now I can't unsee it.
You also
it.
Have to realize, we're sci-fi, we know, we're kind of tired of sharks.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if they're not flying through the sky, they're almost
done with that. You're almost done with that.
And, that's true.
You know, I just talked to Anthony Ciafrante about the final Sharknado, and
is he excited or is he sad?
Until they reboot the franchise.
Right?
Whoa.
When it goes to the big screen and it actually has money behind it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's happening. It's called The Meg.
No, I was going to say, it's called The Meg.
Yes. Bam.
I think he's happy to have actually put an end to it. Like, an end. He said he's promised that it's not vague.
He's
it's
like,
not
I
no
can
bleak
go
ending.
Do something else.
It is ending. Like, they're ending the story.
I can now do that alien movie I always wanted to do.
Right, exactly. With more Real Housewives.
But honestly, I think the biggest splash coming up this weekend is going to be Godzilla. That's my dark horse.
I'm really looking forward to that too.
Because I think that people are going to, if they show freaking Mothra on the big screen in Hall H, people are going to freak the hell out.
I want them to be running out of that theater like the people in the original Blob.
Exactly.
Running out of the theater, like screaming, and that would be cool.
And they've already got the people out on the street here in San Diego, like with the Godzilla saves. So there was woman like came up to me and was like, "Do you have a minute to talk to me about Godzilla?"
And you were like, "Yes, I do."
And I was like, "Well, I know, but I sure wish I did."
Have you been over to the Purge activation?
No.
Courtney was over at the Purge. There's like an Eat, Pray, Love shirt, but it's like...
Live, Love, Purge.
It's so good.
Yeah, and then my mom and dad went to a Purge party and all
I
got
and they
was
like
this
t-shirt. They're like, oh, like, what do you like? Do you purge with your family?
Right, like, are you staying in? Or are you hunkering down? Or are you going out for Purge night? But they are selling it like it's all improv actors posing as the staff of like a Party City where you go and they give you 20 Purge dollars and you can buy like equipment
axes
for the night and all that stuff, and it is full-blown interactive entertainment. They have demonstrations like for the purge cake that you can make, or purge detergent, which will take out, it'll take stains out.
Detergent.
Yes.
I know a bunch of things about that show that they haven't revealed yet.
It's really good
at
cleaning out plasma and brain matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I feel like it's time, like they've heard this, but you need to know. I was down in New Orleans on set, and I interviewed a bunch of the actors, and I discovered that every woman there, and it's wonderful, if you ask them, who from Sex and the City is best at the purge? They will answer like they wrote a doctoral thesis on the subject.
And it's probably Miranda.
It was so good. What is going on? Everybody has got the wrong answer to this question. First of all,
Charlotte. It's totally Charlotte.
Thank you.
Because she has that inner rage. She's so well, tightly wound.
Still waters run deep.
Yeah, she's tightly wound.
Charlotte. Thank you. Okay, I just needed yeah. somebody to know.
Miranda is probably
Danny's
the first.
Tangents on this show have been epic tonight. Yeah.
Miranda's probably the first to get purged because she's pissed so many people off.
That's true.
Yeah,
and or like she'll try to save Steve and bite it.
Oh God! That's so funny.
Well, no, Carrie's first. Well, no, Carrie's gonna be hiding because she's just.
Oh yeah, Carrie. No, Carrie's
because she's a star. She won't die. She should die, but she won't.
Carrie would never notice that it was purge night because she's completely consumed with her relationship.
Yeah, she's sitting there being like, blah blah blah, big blah 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 blah.
And then I wonder to myself, am I really purging, or am I taking in empty calories of romance?
Yeah.
You're hilarious.
Anyway, all right. So, is there anything else we want to touch upon that is going to be happening in the next few days before we wrap this puppy up?
I don't think so. I think I'm looking forward to seeing more comics. I was able to go through Artist Alley today and just see some amazing art. And I just... It's funny because it's Comic-Con.
Right.
But
and comic
remember,
books are so rare.
Right. You have to remember, especially at San Diego Comic-Con, to go, you have to search for comics. And I'm like, I remember back in the day. You know, like, I feel so old, but I remember, like, when comics was the thing you went for.
But the great thing about this convention floor is when you go into the comic book section, it's like the safe place.
It is.
It's also like the quiet place.
It is.
Where nobody's talking. They're all sifting through the boxes.
But not like a quiet place where it's like a bunch of aliens that look like
that. No, it is, because if you leave the area, then you have the massive mobs of people.
Like, all of a sudden, if you make a noise, they pay attention to you. But you can go into the comic book section, not be bumped into people. You can immerse yourself in it, and there's air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oxygen's dope.
Yeah. And you're not getting hit in the face with one of those poster tubes.
Yeah, I know. Or one of those Oh, wait. No, we sell those.
Okay. I'm excited about Glass, though.
That's the other one I forgot
about. I'm going to be doing a press line for that. And is like, I think it's like that. And I'm going to be interviewing some people from Adventure Time tomorrow. And and that's ending next month. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's kind of exciting. So yeah, I think there's stuff. Yeah. But Glass, I think, is probably my big one from the rest of the con. Because like, oh my Lord, like Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis back again for real. Like... Unbreakable to me is like one of the, it's like in my top three greatest superhero movies of all time.
Agree.
Yeah. I love Unbreakable.
After that, M. Night lost his mind.
He went completely cuckoo.
Yeah.
And as a Philadelphia native, it's, you know, to me, it's just like, oh my God.
Because Philly is in every movie.
Philly's in every movie because M. Night lives there. And it's like, I would see him at Borders every time there was a Harry Potter release party.
Wow,
like,
Borders.
It was like, there's M. Night.
For those of you who don't know, Borders was a bookstore, an actual bookstore. You went in the store to buy the books. Yeah. You didn't go online.
Are we on Coffee Talk?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go a little further back and the accent comes. So for me, like, I watch it, I'm like, oh, that's the zoo. Oh, that's the high speed line. And like, there were certain things in Split where logistically, no. He was not going to get from there to there in that amount of time.
That's we, as New Yorkers, we get that all the time.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's why I love Die Hard with a Vengeance.
And also,
Die
Hard with a Vengeance is one of the most respectful movies
about New
York.
Right, because it actually pays attention where it is.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And Spider-Man Homecoming was like that. We're like, oh, this is an accurate representation. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
But then you watch
when he was supposed to go visit the girlfriend, and I know that stopped in Queens. Yeah. And I was like, you were not in Queens.
But then you watch Cloverfield, and you're like, where the hell are you going? Do you people even live in New York? I don't even know live in New York. And I was watching that. I'm like, no, you're not going to be able to walk from there.
You know
to
what?
There.
Speaking of Cloverfield, there's a Cloverfield trailer that dropped today called Overlord. Yeah. And it's a period piece.
That has not. This is. It's basically them finding a way to franchise non-franchise movies.
Maybe,
I feel
maybe
like
they should just put a period at the end of the sentence.
Cloverfield needs to meet Frozen.
I actually really
they
love
to just
10,
let it go.
I actually really love 10 Cloverfield Lane. So I will. So I will go to bat for that movie.
Yes, Cloverfield Lane was good.
But yeah.
But like, and I liked the last Cloverfield movie because it didn't really have anything to do. With
kind of felt like Jason goes to space.
Yeah.
Oh, but I love when Jason went to space. That's a whole
alien?
Other conversation.
That alien that ended up by itself. And anyway, so yeah, there was another Cloverfield, and I was confused because I didn't. Yeah. Because that's
I don't know
confused.
If I need. I don't know. Do we need a period piece Cloverfield?
Well, it was so weird too.
I don't know. I see Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
It's like I'm turning the butter.
Good.
Oh, what's
it
that
wasn't
sound?
Just that it was a period piece with like a black man in World War II, and I'm going to go fight my country, but I don't know what I'm fighting. And honey, this ending you to die. And then I'm watching it, and I'm looking like that GIF, like, oh no, baby, what is you doing? Like it's just bad. Like it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then it's like, and then afterwards, it was again, why? Why are we doing this one? It's
because they tried to make A Quiet Place a Cloverfield movie. Like, that was an original pitch to
but
them.
But these are not making a lot of money. Did Cloverfield make money?
10 Cloverfield Lane, I feel like, did pretty well. Think about how much it cost to make.
Right.
It probably cost next to nothing
to
make.
True.
Yeah, and it got good reviews. So yeah. it became, like, prestige.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but then Paradox.
But they can't repeat it. It's just like...
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. But that's just my opinion. Yeah. Somebody out there loves it. I'm sorry.
You know what? Look, here's what I'm going to say. You know why some of those movies are getting made? I think it's because some people keep forgetting to eat dinner. And I think that because I haven't eaten dinner.
I was like, I feel an awkward segue.
So here's what I'm going to say. I need to eat something. Yeah. So we're wrapping up this podcast.
All
that's what's happening. Thank you for all being here. Thank you for joining us.
Happy.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
We
super
should do
fun.
This again.
Last time I went to a stranger's hotel room with three other people, it did not end this well.
Yeah.
We had to get one more in there. You know?
There it is. There it is. There it is.
You too.
It is. It's late on day one. So.
Anyway, obviously, if you're not subscribed to the Who Won the Week podcast, this is clearly the moment where you realize that you should be doing
it. Yeah, you need to rethink your life choices.
And then leave a review. 5 stars. Don't be stingy. We clearly weren't today. And we want to know what you think about all of these things that we discussed. What are you getting into at San Diego Comic-Con? Have you blown $250 on Ninja Turtles? Like, we want to know.
Or do you have Adam's strength?
Yes, or do you have the Adam strength?
That's right.
And please also check out the whole family of Sci-Fi Wire podcasts that include The Phantom Files, Strong Female Characters, the soon-to-be-debuting Wynonna Earp
official podcast. That's right.
With...
Katie Wilson.
There
Wilson.
It is, Katie Wilson. Nice. So that's very exciting. And please also check out our Amazon podcasts, Debate Club, Untold Story, and Geeksplain. Boy, we got a lot of stuff out now. Who knew?
You are content creators.
It's like
we
were
on it.
Real company.
I'm just going to say it's a fan thing. That's
it's
all.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So very much it's a fan
thing.
Wow, so on brand.
Here we go. And by that, I mean, let's stop. Before we drop... where can everybody find y'all on the internet?
I am at Damien Holbrook on Twitter and on Instagram and on TVinsider.com. You can find me posting tons of stuff. And Cheers and Jeers and TV Guide magazine on stands now.
You can find me, Karma the Blur Girl, TheBlerdGurl, all over the social webs. Actually, you're going to see me a lot this weekend. If you follow my Instagram, I'm going to be using my Instagram TV for the first time, talking about a lot of things. So check that out. And you know I get mail on Twitter.
And you can find me, Adam Swiderski, on Twitter and Instagram at RockTheFaces.
And my name is Danny Roth, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DannyOrdinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.